remember to sleep. What a surprise. Let's talk and let's laugh, cause I got so much to tell you. So let's go kick some ass.
Kia ora and welcome to Kick Arts with Emma and Stephen, proudly brought to you this month by the fabulous friends at the Dolphin Theatre. Kick Arts is Aotearoa's comprehensive art show, brought to you on Planet FM 104.6 and streaming live around the globe thanks to our podcast, which you can download from planetaudio.org.nz and find us on Spotify. Tonight we're catching up with two cast members from Proudly Asian Theatre's latest production, Genuine and Stable. We catch up with author Sam Mann, who is an artist, activist and conservationist, on his latest book. And after our opening song, we're chatting with Mal from Loud Creative about the Waikato Queer Arts Festival. Now to kick off the show, our good friend of the show, Jenny Smith, has released yet another song with great music video. Go check it out on YouTube. Here it is. It's called Shopping.
Someone in front of me to make up their minds. But I saw you working at checkout night. You were kind to me and kind to my eyes, and it changed my mind. Now seeing you puts me on edge. These groceries ain't the only thing that I came here to check out. I'm dancing down our podcast. Your smile is on my mind, but I'm too shy to say.
Shopping. Well, Emma, Jenny must be doing so well this year because her shopping trolley was well and truly full.
Well, I was going to say that it's kind of a theme song for me almost, because I'm constantly shopping. Especially for pink shoes.
Pink! Had a good week?
Yeah, it's been crazy. It just feels like Christmas is just racing towards us.
I know.
But I did manage to get down to Tauranga to the opening night of Tauranga Music Theatre for Something Rotten.
Brilliant. I'm looking forward to that this week.
Yeah. Anyone that loves like that Monty Python Spamalot feel. Something Rotten is such a cool musical.
Nice.
And then I headed back here to be at the opening night of Harlequin Theatre's You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, which was so cute.
Oh,
so
nice.
Lovely. You're going to love it when you see that.
Brilliant.
And then today, of course, I sang in Papakura's, what was it called? Papakura Festival and Santa Parade. There you go.
Cool.
Stood on the back of the truck for 25 minutes with Queen Street and had a bit of a sing-song.
Brilliant. I headed up north to Elf, the musical. Whangarei getting into the Christmas spirit nice and early, watching lots of kids having fun in that space. That was really cool. And, yeah, I've got a lot next week. Also saw a bit of a concert, which I'll talk about a little later in the night, because we've got somebody already waiting online to chat to us.
Yeah, coming to us from Hamilton, Kia ora, Mel. How are you?
Kia ora, I'm well, Emma and Stephen, how are you?
We're good. Fabulous. Now, you're starting something brand new next year.
I am certainly going to try.
Oh, you're more than going to try. You're doing it. You've announced it. It has to happen now. You've even got to give a little.
Yeah, well, that's right. And that's a part of why I just charged ahead and started telling people and was to hold myself a little bit accountable. Yeah, we're doing it. We're doing the Waikato Queer Arts Festival.
Fantastic. So tell us, what is this going to look like?
So in 2026, in April, it will look like just 3 days of, we've got like 5 or 6 events of all kinds of queer-related art. We're doing a film screening. We're going to do a rehearsed play reading. There'll be some drag. There'll be a community coaching session. And then we're going to do a big headline event with some very exciting people coming along to join us.
Fabulous. So when you say we are, who are we?
So we are Loud Creative. We're a non-profit charitable arts trust based out of Hamilton, run by myself and my wife, Kate. And we do, our big thing is access, diversity, inclusion.
And of course, we've talked about Kate in the past with their workshops on arts access, which of course presented professional development for us at Junior Theatre Festival a few weeks back, and the things that they are busy doing for the community. So that's fantastic. So who do you think is your most, I know you've got a headliner that you can't tell us, but is this something quite different for Waikato, or is this something that,
I think it is something that has sort of been in the works, and like the community has been growing over the last few years. There's a little events company down here, Twisted Coven, who have been doing drag events monthly the last couple of years. And so the community has been slowly growing. And I went to, Kate and I went to Palmerston North a couple months ago to Palmy Drag Fest. And we were sort of super inspired by what they do. And we sort of thought, well, we could do that, because there's so much of drag artists and artists in general, like producing events for themselves to create opportunities, which is awesome, but it's not their strength, and my strength is producing events. So I thought, why don't I, offer that to the community? I'm just doing it with the audacity of a 3-year-old on too much Red Fizzy.
Nothing like Red Fizzy. Now tell us a little bit about, have you been into the new venue down about to open in Hamilton?
I haven't yet, but we are going to the opening in January, which we're super excited about. And we are aiming to have, I guess we're shooting for there eventually with our big headline drag event in the coming years. But this year, next year, we're doing, it's called The Royal Review, our headline event at Clarence Street Theatre.
And what do you think this new venue for Hamilton, going a bit off topic, but you're down in Hamilton, what do you think this new venue means for Hamilton?
I learned somebody is coming here that's excited. Oh, who is it? I'm not particularly excited, but Sophie Ellis-Bexter is coming, and she's like, Hamilton is her North Island stop, which sort of indicates that we could be in the running for some pretty exciting acts and shows and things coming through our region that haven't been through for a really long time. So I think that's really exciting. I think there's a huge opportunity for our arts community to grow and experience more.
Yeah, very cool. Now, to help you make it loud, you've got a Give a Little happening. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so our Give a Little is, I guess it's our grassroots effort. So we're doing a lot of corporate sponsorship, or getting a lot of corporate sponsorship and community funding. So we wanted to sort of open the doors for the community to get involved if they want to and contribute to what's going to be a super exciting, it's going to be a super exciting inaugural festival, but we're hoping to build a tradition and something that can exist in the Waikato for years to come. So that's what the Give a Little is for. It's for people to donate as much or as little as they would like. $3 goes a long way, you know?
Absolutely. And if people want to jump on to Give a Little, Make It Loud is what you need to type in the search bar to get it. Make It Loud up on their Give that's a Little.
Now, in the past, we have actually a lot of people that have come on here with a Give a Little. After the show, they've had a few donations, so I'm going to challenge all of our listeners are tuning in, jump over and maybe forfeit that tomorrow morning's coffee. Now, let's forfeit tomorrow morning's coffee at Auckland prices and maybe donate like $8 or $9, not the basic $3 that you might be lucky to get an instant coffee
for. And
look,
if you round it up to $10, you know, that makes a difference. And if you're listening to our podcast during the week, you know, it doesn't have to be Monday. Any time that this is open for a little while yet.
We'll have to Give a Little running for a little while.
Fabulous. And maybe when they put a little message to you, they can say Kick Arts so that we know that we've helped you out in some way other than the donation we're about to make. So, yeah. 100%. So, we wish you all the best, and I'd love to hear from you further into next year as things are heating up and maybe some of your guests can come on and promote what they're doing at the festival.
Oh, we would love that. We've got some Emma, we've got some really exciting people coming along, and in the next couple of weeks, I think we'll have tickets on sale and announcements happening, so watch this space, and I would love to talk to you guys some more.
Fabulous, and we'll make sure we share everything over onto our page as well.
Is there anywhere listeners can go, apart from the Give a Little, to find out more or to start following you?
Yeah, so follow Loud Creative or the Waikato Queer Arts Festival on Instagram for now. We've got a website in the works, and Facebook I'm sure will come at some point, but Instagram's the big one for now.
Fabulous. Well, thanks for chatting with us on a Sunday night, and we look forward to hearing more about it in the new year.
Thank you so much, guys.
Cool. Take care, Mel.
You guys too.
Brilliant. Lots of festivals kick off next year too. It's always that January to April. Around the country, we'll be chatting a lot to the Auckland Folk Festival. There's the Christchurch Buskers Festival. Then we had, I think, several fringe festivals.
Yeah.
And now one in Waikato to add to the mix.
So we really recommend that you get in sooner rather than later to make sure you book your time to come in and speak to us here on Kick Arts. So remember, info@kickarts.org.nz.
Absolutely. Now, delighted to have this next group back in the studio again, but two new guests from Proudly Asian Theatre. A big welcome to Zhang Wei and Jono. Welcome to the show, guys.
Kia ora.
Kia ora, thank you for having us.
Great to have you here, and you're here with a show, Genuine and Stable, although I said at the start, genuine. Is there a difference between genuine and genuine? Tomato, potato? Okay. Yeah. So what, first of all, Jono, tell us, what is Genuine and Stable all about?
Well, I think at its core, Genuine and Stable is a love story, which is a very human thing, right? But it's under the microscope of a system that can be dehumanizing, being our immigration system, and it takes a lens on a relationship between an immigrant and a Kiwi-born New Zealander, and the immigration officers looking into their case as they apply for a partnership visa.
Quite topical in the news at the moment. There's been a few interesting cases lately. Like this is a very real story for many people in New Zealand.
Yeah.
Is this something that you've created or devised or scripted? How is this sort of being presented to you?
So it's written by Ooyong Choi, who actually worked as an immigration lawyer. So he's gathered all his experiences and put it into a play, which is a very, very cool and awesome. Yeah.
Brilliant. And who do you both play?
I play Soojin, who is the South Korean immigrant who moved to New Zealand when she was 12.
And I play Jeremy, Soojin's partner.
And can I ask, how did the two characters meet?
At a house party.
At Jeremy's flat warming.
Yeah. Okay, yes. Nice.
Yeah. Nice.
What do you want the audiences to get from this, to take away?
I think what I want the audience to take away is, I think, for people to really get a hold of their privilege of realizing that, yeah, there's people that really do have to go through this process to prove that their love is real, or for people to have the right to stay.
Mm.
I think that's the biggest one for me.
Mm. Okay, Jono?
Yeah, I'll second that. I mean, it's a process that a lot of people aren't aware of, won't know anybody who have gone through it, but for the people that are going through it, it is so real and can be, like I said before, incredibly dehumanizing to have to prove that your love is real, to prove that you belong, to prove that you deserve to stay in this country where a lot of people have lived in for most of their lives.
It was fascinating recently, you know, radio host JJ Feeney sort of very public about her journey in this, yet, you know, Women's Day stories, Facebooks, if you follow her, she followed every journey with her amazing man, yet immigration still required so much proof, and it was such a journey. She posted the most beautiful video this week of finally it all sort of coming through and him coming home to that really important letter. And this is a very public figure, so I can imagine, like, what it's like if you didn't even want to have as much evidence as she did.
Mm.
You know, this is tough. Yeah, and then there's those that aren't necessarily in love but want to stay in a country, so then marry for the wrong reasons. And I guess that's where, I guess, immigration come from. But then you go back a step and go, but hang on, they really want to live here. They work here. They've made a life here.
Mm.
And we're kind of forcing them into this. I've had great discussions with somebody on this recently because it's very different in Australia.
Mm.
Yeah, very different roles. Yeah. How long have you been rehearsing? What's the journey? Tell us a little bit about Proudly Asian Theatre.
We've been rehearsing for, this is our third week
just
now?
Just finished our third week today, actually.
Wow.
Yeah, full-day rehearsal today.
Okay.
They've absolutely flown by.
And we're going at a really good pace, too.
Really good pace.
So, very excited for the new weeks ahead.
Yeah, and I mean, it's particularly exciting for Proudly Asian Theatre because they've been on a hiatus. So this is their first show back with this amazing script. And we're going to be on in the Herald Theatre, which is a really, really cool theatre to get to perform in.
And had you two performed together?
No.
Prior?
No.
But you both trained at the same place?
Yes, but different years.
Yeah, we both trained at the Access Program a couple of years apart. Yeah.
And for Proudly Asian Theatre, do we tell us a little bit about them and their journey? If you know it. I'm putting you on the spot here. Because they've been around a while.
Yeah.
They've
been, I think, 11 years now. I was there for their 10-year anniversary night, which was so awesome to see their process from the beginning to where they are now. And they obviously took a one-year hiatus to take a step back and make a plan for like the next few years coming ahead, I don't know too much the history, but it's really awesome to be a part of
it. What they're doing now is they're creating opportunities for people that might otherwise have to fight for those opportunities but are just as deserving. Even in our crew there are people getting some really amazing development opportunities, which I think is a big focus for the theatre company, just giving back to the arts.
Play by Ooyong was actually started from their Fresh Off the Page program, where they invite emerging playwrights to develop their play with mentors and stuff. So,
and I think over the 11 years, you know, there has become a bigger visibility. Bigger visibility, is that what I'm... of Asian work, which is the whole point and why it started. You know, there used to be the odd role here or there.
Yeah.
Mm. And, you know, when you think about the roles that there used to be, like in musical theatre and things, quite often they were the parody kind of funny things as well.
Kind of like put in a box.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think it's quite exciting to see things happening.
Mm.
Do you know the other exciting thing is all of a sudden the Herald Theatre's picked back up again. Like, we've had a run of shows going into the Herald where I can think over a year since we've mentioned it.
Mm.
Yeah, all of a sudden it's obviously got the doors open again, which is great because it's a great space.
Have either of you acted in that space before?
No.
No, but excited too.
Very
because good. It is a unique space in the way that it's so... raked. It's so steep, and this is such an intimate play, so it's a really great challenge as an actor to bring this intimate story to a theatre like that and a space of that size.
The nice thing for the audience though is no matter where they sit, they can see. You know, which is really good. Because you do worry some theatres. Just have to hold on to Emma's hand as you get it down, down to the bottom.
We were talking about this. We interviewed someone the other day and I was saying how I freak out when I know I'm going there just because I get vertigo really badly.
Because you start at the top and work your way down to get
and
to
I
the front.
Always worry that I'm going to trip and end up down the bottom, you know. But then once you're seated, like you said, it is such a good theatre for seeing everything.
Yes, and we're going to have some really cool shapes on the stage, some really original ideas with our AV to paint the picture, because I think what's really interesting about this play in itself is the way the timelines work, because we've got kind of the present day of two immigration officers going through Sujin and Jeremy's case, and then running throughout the play, we've got you know, the full story of Sujin and Jeremy's relationship playing out from the day that they meet. Well, I won't give too much away, but yeah, but there's some pretty exciting stuff. And those stairs, yeah, a couple, yeah,
we won't say anything,
but
you're going to turn them into slides.
Yes,
we're going to slide down from the back.
Because that's how immigration works. Love it. All right, we're going to take a music break now, and then after the break, we're going to catch up and find out a bit about your journey in the arts. We've heard a little bit there and what kicked it off. Emma, we've got a great one in our inbox this week from Holton Hart in the South Island, New Zealand's young country music sensation. We're going to catch up with them in our holiday break, but they've just released a new track. But why it's unique is it's an 8-piece family group of cousins that work in various combinations on guitar, bass, ukulele, banjo, mandolin, and of course singing, and it all is recorded in their beloved granddad's home, which I think is really cool.
Let's go down to Gore
with Sweet Ride. Heart, Sweet Ride. And we'll catch up with the family, or at least some of them, for our special New Year's show. So look forward to that one. All right, back with our fabulous guests now, and let's have a little chat. Donna, kick it off. If you could take us back in time, when did the Arts Fest kick off for you and where?
Yeah, cool. I'm actually a bit of a late bloomer.
Okay.
I had no interest in it really through high school. Even into my early 20s, I didn't know what I was missing out on. And I got to a point in my life where I'd studied uni, studied business, didn't know what I was doing. And yeah, my friend had a free ticket to a show. It was Othello. And I was like, oh, well, I liked studying Othello in English, so I'll go along. And I walked in, and it was like a switch flicked in my brain, and I just fell in love with it immediately.
Was it Pop-Ups or Othello?
It was, yeah. It was Pop-Ups back in 2017.
Yeah, I was going to say, that was a while ago.
Yeah, and then there was this one moment during one of the shows where it was actually during Henry V, where I was getting some lines delivered directly to me, and I felt this, like, inspiration, I guess is probably the best way to put it. And I was like, that's such an incredible gift to be able to give people like memories and be able to tell these stories and give people something to take away with them when they go home and remember. And I was like, that's what I need to do. So so yeah, I started doing community theatre because it was just a really good way to get on stage. Picked up an agent through doing that, did some ads, made a bit of money. I was like, whoa, this is pretty cool. And then I got made redundant from my marketing job at the time in 2020 through COVID. And I was like, well, why not do the actors program? Give it a go. So I auditioned and got in and, yeah.
That's a cool story. I like that. Yeah. Not too many people would have kicked off their arts journey with Othello.
Yeah.
Like, that's quite a specific one to kick it off with.
Yeah. But I love too that you've done your business marketing work. So that must come in handy for self-promotion and knowing what you need to do. Does that mean that you're potentially going to go down a producing route
Well, I've definitely thought about it, and I'm at a point now where I have been kind of continuing that kind of corporate work on the side, but I'm really looking to take my skill set and my sort of passion and apply it fully to the arts and find a way to make that a career in our creative industry. So that's kind of where I am. But I also, you know, I'm an actor at heart and an actor first, I think. So getting these opportunities like this to tell stories with Proudly Asian Theatre is my dream, ultimately.
Live theatre only or a bit of... Would you do on screen as well?
Oh, definitely. I'll definitely do screen.
Well, you said you did ads. But
yeah, yeah. And yeah, I love screen, but theatre is definitely where my heart is. That connection you get with the audience when you're on stage. You just can't beat it. You actually can't beat it. So yeah, that's a quick jaunt through the last 10 years of my life.
Right, your turn. Did it start recently or right back in childhood?
Yeah, no, I was also a late bloomer too. I never did drama throughout high school. It was only until maybe like when I was like year 11, I was just watching the television that my mum and dad was watching, and it was this like Korean like reality TV show of these people in Hollywood in these audition rooms doing like an audition in front of a big panel. And I don't know, it's just something about that really inspired me, and it like flicked a feeling in my gut that it was like kind of something that I wanted to do as well. But it wasn't until maybe like a few years after that I really like took action. I was like, yes, I really want to try this out. And then I looked into the actors program, auditioned, and then got a callback. And then that callback weekend was probably like the most amazing weekend of my life. It was like just the most freeing feeling ever, and then got in and then had the best year of my life at TAP in 2023. So yeah, so it's only been around like 2-ish years for me, but very grateful.
So both of you graduates from the actors program, fill our audience in a little bit, sort of, you know, what is this program, what is covered in that year?
A lot.
Yeah.
It's a one-year intensive acting program. Very, very practical. Every person who teaches on that course is an active industry practitioner. So you're constantly getting fed insights directly from the industry. And you're just constantly working. And I think that's the biggest... For me, that was the most value of the program, was just getting to act every day, basically on our feet. Every day.
And is it feedback based? So you're acting then getting feedback to improve, to work on, or do you have, I guess, like a topic, a theme, a structure that you're being taught to then go and try and deliver on?
Yeah, definitely feedback based. So you're getting different tutors every week, and who might be looking at different acting techniques or doing a full professional play rehearsal just so you're not actually doing a showing, but so when you eventually get into the situation in the industry, you know the process.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, I think every week for my year was like a different different tutor that was their main area. So some weeks would be like big theatre director, or some weeks would be like a casting director, and just like seeing like the differences in between and like what it would be like in the real world in the industry.
Yeah. And I think the value of the course is like it's about making just like industry ready actors as its main focus. And I think that's partly benefited by the fact that they're not in, you don't, they're not following an NZQA curriculum.
No.
So they can kind of set their own course. And, and I know from my experience, like when I've walked, since doing TAP, when I've walked onto a set, when I've walked into a rehearsal room,
you know what to expect.
Known what to expect.
Yeah.
And I think too, when you see the TAP advertising quite regularly, wishing good luck to people, graduates that are in something, you know, and you're seeing the posts of people that are doing stuff. There are a lot of TAP grads out there doing really well.
What do you think was the biggest challenge for you during that program? Like, what was that moment that you went, "Whoa, that was the toughest day"? Making them think.
Oh, Lebanon was very physical, eh? I think for me, because I was so new to this whole acting thing during my year at TAP, I think for me, theatre was something I never, ever considered. And we do this thing called approaching a play, and I had Benjamin Henson across 4 weeks, and we kind of worked with the way he would work in a normal production. And just learning from him was the most, like, pivotal moment for me in TAP, and like gaining my confidence in theatre, because I didn't know how technical theatre was until I got to experience it. So yeah, I think that was the biggest challenge, but in the best way possible. Yeah.
Nice. What about you, Jono?
Challenges.
Moment that surprised you, perhaps?
I think what surprised me was that there isn't any one technique.
Yeah.
You know, that works for everybody. And what surprised me was it's about taking everything, like a bit that works, I think, from everybody, every technique you learn, everybody that comes in and teach you, you take one bit from that, put it in your toolbox, a bit from another person, put that in your toolbox to build your own kind of practice. Yeah, it's not like going on and being like, yes, Meisner has made me a great actor. You know, it's about taking, okay, what from Meisner actually applies to me as a person. Everybody's different. And it was really cool getting to watch my classmates go through the same thing and learn from each other.
For sure.
Yeah. And it was, I mean, just acting every day is challenging. Like, it's great fun and it's amazing and wouldn't do anything else, but it's exhausting.
But you're also, like, put in the spot to be vulnerable since day one. And it's, I think that's really helped me as well, because acting is, in general, is just so vulnerable.
Yeah, I think it's changed a lot since we were younger and training, you know. Gone are the days where we used to get screamed and yelled at. I mean, the amount of times Raymond Hawthorne used to yell at us. Do things, you know, it was kind of like, oh, my gosh.
He used to describe my acting as diarrhea.
Oh.
And when I asked for clarification on that, he'd just walk away. It's like, well, I need a bit more. Like, do I take some Imodium to fix it, or how does this work?
Sorry.
So honest. But his was about a staying power. Like, you know, I think if we... wasn't called the Actors Program back then, it was called the Actors Space or something back in the day. And his was staying power. If he could absolutely go, and then you had 30 in the course, and by week 3 you'd got down to 12, and then he kind of just went, right, you're my group, let's do some work. And his whole attitude changed, because it was like you survived the test.
Yeah, he definitely used to like to push to breaking point to see who would almost fight back. I remember, because I did a course with him only a few years ago at Tepo, when Tepo had him there doing some night courses. And I mean, I'd worked with him years and years ago, and then I kind of came back, and I remember the first few weeks, but I stood up to him, and I was one of the first people in class to kind of speak back, and he kind of left me alone after that. He gave me good feedback, but it was almost like he challenged to see who would stand their ground.
It sounds like you guys are in the army or something.
Oh yeah.
Well, that is what training used to be.
Yeah. And I was sort of very much the pre-PC times. You know, I'm going back 30 years, and I remember, and I've told this story to you before, but, you know, that very first week, and I was a very innocent 18-year-old out of a Catholic school, and, you know, lesson number one was sex scenes. And I don't know what my face did at the time, but it did something, and the most beautiful Jodie Rimmer came and grabbed my hand and just said, "You look terrified. I'll guide you through the whole thing." And amazing, amazing. And it was so nice last year to meet her back here and thank her for that. You know, it was just like this incredible person just went, "He's terrified. We'll make this happen." And we did.
And so, sorry, so many of those kind of things would never happen now.
No, you wouldn't get away with it.
The joy of intimacy coaches, as Jennifer would speak up pretty loudly if that happened.
We had Jennifer for our intimacy block, and it was a really great experience.
Yeah, definitely no intimacy coaching in the 90s. Yeah.
No.
So back to our show coming up. What are you most looking forward to? Is there a certain scene? Is it the audience reaction? Is it just pulling it together and coming into the venue?
Is it walking down the street and having people going, "I saw you last night"?
I'm really excited to hear what people take away from it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just excited to have this play up on its feet, like to be shown and voiced out.
To tell the story, I think, ultimately. Yeah. Because I think there's a lot of layers in it, and I'm really excited to hear what people take away from what they've picked apart and what they've learnt and what they've, their reflections, I think. Because I think a lot of people are going to experience it differently.
Yeah, and don't be surprised if you have people talk to you afterwards about their story and their, it feels like it's going to hit a few nerves, not necessarily in a bad way, but in a way of people going, "Actually, I've walked this journey."
Yeah,
so I guess you'll have as actors that responsibility to listen and take in people's worlds. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I think is a really cool, it's like an honour to be able to.
Yeah.
It's a great privilege, eh?
Yeah.
So Kick-Ass question then.
Okay, take it away.
Jono, if a producer was to walk through the door right now and say, "I want you for," what would it be that you would throw everything in the air and sprint?
Ooh, putting me on the spot.
Yeah. Dream role.
You know what? It'd be a musical.
Really?
Yeah. Which is funny because I can't sing. But
you can in this dream, okay?
Yeah, I can in this dream. I haven't thought about, I'll get back to you on which musical, but I think if I could do anything, it would be to jump on like Broadway or West End.
Okay, why a musical though?
I don't, honestly.
If you don't sing, what is it that makes you think that a musical would be, like, we're the biggest musical fans in the world. We teach musical theatre, that's our big thing, but yeah.
I think musicals just bring so much joy.
I love it.
You know? And like, there's so many layers to it. There's singing, dancing, acting, they're just... And it's like such an
incredible... It's another whole school. You need to go to another whole school.
It's an incredible... It's such like an insane skill set to have. And I don't know, they just make me feel so good.
Awesome. Okay, so some kind of a musical. All right. Producers walking in the door, what's making you sprint out that door and chase them down the street?
Oh, I would also say a musical, but to like switch things up. I would love to play Greta Lee's like sister in a film. Greta Lee, she was in Past Lives. I think she's just a wonderful actress, and it'll be just such an honour to be in the same set as her, like work off her. But dream.
Very cool. So is that someone that you
look
up to,
up
to be?
For sure.
Okay.
Yeah, she's just wonderful, great actress. Yeah.
Brilliant. Awesome. Okay, I love it. All right, where do people head for ticket information, dates, details, and all that important stuff?
Tickets are at Auckland Live. Our show is on from the 9th to the 13th of December. So it's short and sweet, so you
don't
want to miss it.
Yeah, five days, six shows.
And it's not a huge theatre, so you do need to get in quick.
You do need to book, so head to AucklandLive.co.nz. Simple as that. Well, thank you, guys. All the best for your season. Thanks for coming in after a long day of rehearsals.
Thank you for
having us. We appreciate that.
Thank you for having us.
All right. We'll head to a music break, and then after the break, we've got your bulletins of what's coming up. Now, Emma, this piece of music, something that grabbed my attention last night. I was happily sitting in my apartment quite late in the evening when this very loud music started, and Stephen's Grinch mode went in that this was going on a Saturday night. But then actually started listening, going, actually, this is bloody good. So I ventured down to Britomart Square to have a listen, and there was this incredible free concert on from Drax Project out in Britomart Square, and it was awesome, and I stayed right through it. The mayor, Mr. Brown, then lit up the Christmas tree, which in itself was a spectacular moment. Really cool Christmas tree this year.
So the Christmas tree was spectacular, yeah. Not Len Brown's speech.
No.
Did I say that on air?
360 LED screen actually built into it, so it was so cool. Yeah, it was really good. So let's have a little bit of Drax Project, and well done, Auckland City Council, for giving us a free concert. Always appreciated.
Caught up in a dream that I just thought was passing through.
Project Catching Feelings, and that featured 660 in that recording. They were really awesome, and they sang with the Auckland Youth Choir as well, who also did a number of items, and then they released a brand new track at the end with the choir, which was really cool, and they threw a few Christmas songs in.
That's awesome.
Just a nice spirit too. They had a really good spirit to what they were doing, which was really cool.
And I suppose it is that time. It's their time
of year. Yeah, it is. It is. And it was, really cool. Because, I mean, I live right by Britomart Square, and we do get lots of different things, but nothing sort of that quality level.
Maybe they almost need to, let nearby apartments and things like that know what's going on so that you are a little bit prepared.
Mind you,
talk about being a Grinch. It's a Saturday night and there's a bit of noise happening. Like, come on, Stephen.
Yeah, but if I'd known, I would have invited people around and had wine and cheese and we could have enjoyed the music.
Oh, that would have been
free concert,
a good idea.
You see,
free
if you know.
Yeah, if you know, you know.
Hey, I heard about a TV show, which sounds like it's been around a little bit, but I can't track it down at the moment. Yesterday, someone told me about it, called Encore, and it's Kristen Bell from Hollywood, from Broadway, sorry, hosts it, and she goes into theatre companies in America and brings back a cast from like a community theatre group 20 years ago. Say they did Oliver, and she reunites the whole cast and they have to do it again.
That's random.
Yeah, and they have to, even it's quite sad because there's people who have passed away, so they have to audition for those parts and they try and get the director back and they literally redo it. It sounded so cool, even very funny, because you have to play the same role. So Oliver, for example, is now, you know, in his 30s, but sounded really cool. But I cannot track it down, so if any listeners... I was told it was on Disney, but it's not. I've Googled. I can't find it. Sounds really cool. If you know where it is, send us a message.
Yeah, that does sound cool. I want to know what it is too.
Yeah, yeah. Short series. Kristen Bell. Mm-hmm. Now, speaking of Broadway and Hollywood and all of those things, you went to Wicked Part 2 this weekend.
I did.
What was it like?
Look, I can't decide. To be honest, I can't decide what I think about it. A little bit of me does feel like... Part one was better, but there's a couple of new songs in part two that I don't know whether they sat quite with me. Like, they weren't, I mean, nothing is as good as No Good Deeds. Mm. And you know, For Good. There's all those really well-known, you know. And I definitely shed a few tears. I'll tell you one thing that blew me away. Fiero's makeup.
Okay.
At the end of the show, that's all I'll say.
Okay, cool. Mm. Still worth seeing.
Oh, yeah. And
you kind of got to finish it, don't you?
The way they tie the whole Wizard of Oz element in is so cleverly done.
Okay.
And I would love some of those costumes. Like, man, you know, what the Aussians wear, it kind of makes me want to live in a crazy time that you can wear things like that.
Hmm. Okay. Well, start a trend.
Yeah. Well, I kind of have.
She is sitting here tonight on air in pink with her Wicked Defying Gravity shirt.
No, it's my Glinda one. Yeah. I've got a green one as well, but this one says on the back, Team Glinda.
Nice. Brilliant. All right. Let's have a look at our bulletins. Just a few things that have come in this week, Emma. First one from our friend Karen, promoting a very special new initiative.
Yes. So this is on behalf of Peter Feeney, who... runs the Actors Lab, which is a acting training facility. So this initiative is called the Story Lab. So, need to open it. Story Lab is a space where people come together to commune over storytelling. Everyone is welcome. So its first week is actually coming up on the 4th of December. It's every Thursday. The first Thursday of every month, not every Thursday, sorry, 7 p.m. The 4th of December is on loss. And just some examples. So we've also got on the 5th of March, All the World's a Stage, and the 2nd of April is a mystery theme. There you go. So it's at 1 Francis Street, which is upstairs at the Grey Lynn RSC. So I'm just looking at where... Oh, there we go. If you go to www.actorslab.co.nz and find out /storylab.
Brilliant. Thanks, Emma. Now, the Basement Theatre's Silly Season Launch Party, Slay For You, is about to take to the stage. The year's been wild, the nights are getting hotter, and the silly season is calling. Wrapping up the year the only way we know how, loud, sweaty, and a little unhinged. Slay For You is Basement Theatre's Silly Season Free Launch Party. That's right, free, featuring live music, free sausage sizzle, DJs, and karaoke. It's on Friday, the 5th of December from 5 p.m. onwards at the Basement Theatre in Lower Grays Ave. It's free entry. You don't need to get a ticket. Just turn on up. Good on you, Basements. That's Slay For You. And we've popped it up, details on our Kick Arts bulletins page.
And as you said, It's free.
It is.
Always positive. And, of course, we've also got Sisters in Country Harmony Road Australian Tour. Australasian Tour. They're touring to Tamworth. Why have you put this in here?
No, no, no. Scroll down. It's got some performances from here. It's got our... We have lost it. It's got our own Kiwis in there as well. You need to scroll down here, Emma. It's got Jodie Bourne, Ali Cook, and Marion Burns.
We've got the giggles really bad tonight, guys. Apologies. Now, if you've got bulletins, we don't usually laugh when we're telling them. But, you know, send them through to us at kickart.info@kickarts.org.nz. See, I can't even remember our email.
Shall we head to a music break?
I think we should.
Big Rung is back again. She is releasing new music every week at the moment, and here is Red Sunset. Has got a very different sound this year.
It's very different. It's kind of got that techno vibe, hasn't it?
Yeah, quite a switch. Now, for those listening before Big Runger, and we were trying to decipher that bulletin, it is actually an Australian tour.
It's got New Zealanders Kiwis in it, country Kiwis in there.
So we weren't losing the plot completely, but you've got to go to Tamworth to see it, so sorry about that, folks. But if you're tuning in from Aussie, do check it out.
Yeah, definitely. Now...
Very different guest now. We're delighted to welcome to the show author Sam Mann, who has written a thought-provoking literary novel that explores the topic of how to give art its necessary free voice. Welcome, Sam, to the show.
Good. It was very, very brave of you to have me on, I must say.
Oh, it's great to have you here. And your book's entitled How to Paint a Nude, which immediately gets people questioning and thinking, but it's it sounds very cool. Tell us all about it.
Well, it's not a lot to tell. I was listening to that song, but you said it was Bic Runger.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm interested. Because what I could hear in there was kind of nothing, in a way. You've got to remember, I'm very old, and I came from a time when we had Joan Baez and Bob Dylan and Leonard Cohen and so forth. And these were our poets, and they were mainstream, and they were talking about the world and the trouble it was in, the Vietnam War and so forth. And there's no problem accessing those anarchic voices. That's one of the reasons I'm writing this book, is because I feel that art has become a bit like wallpaper, and it used to be a powerful political tool. It had the possibility of changing people's minds, but and it was a voice for the disenfranchised. Now when I look around, like when I go to art school where I was in the 70s, it was a fervent, you know, it was a nest of protest. People were out complaining about everything all the time on the streets. It was wonderful. It was very creative. When I go there now, I see a lot of very wealthy, privileged people just entertaining themselves, really. I mean, it sounds damn cynical, but really, art can do so much more. You may not have followed John Pilger, but one of the most powerful statements he made out of Palestine was the visual arts aren't doing their job, and that really struck me. And when I look around now, I go to exhibitions, public art, public sculpture exhibitions, which are everywhere, and I look for somebody commenting on the fact that there are people dying everywhere every day, and it's a downer, but it's real, and we should be addressing that. So what I did was I created a character who's an amalgam of a number of, you know, sort of outrageous friends of mine who are very difficult to be with but have good ideas. And I had this one character who's a Belarus refugee that comes from the last dictatorship, really, or the longest dictatorship in Europe. He comes to New Zealand because he sees us as being a democratic outpost, a country proud of itself for, you know, having defeated the French Foreign Service with the Rainbow Warrior, having shat in the faces of the Americans when they tried to bring nuclear power in here. We went to war against ourselves as the subjugated peoples of South Africa. We gave women the vote. We were the first people. He says, this is a country I want to come to where I can paint and express myself properly. By the end of the book, he finds we have the same restraints here that he has in Belarus. And he says, I'd rather live in a country where I know who the enemy are. Yeah. Mm. So that's really what the book was about. And I think whenever you start a creative process, whether it's a painting or dance or music, you never know exactly where it's going to lead you. And the beauty of this is that when you start writing dialogue, like I'm talking to you, well, actually, no, this is a monologue. I'm speaking at you. But what I love is the interplay of people when they discuss things, which we are learning very rapidly not to do anymore. We want to be experts on everything, and there's not a lot of discussion. There's just cancellation, as far as I can see.
Very much in a world now that we don't discuss, we just jump on AI and it tells us. That's the scary bit, watching people doing that to get answers for everything.
Just go back to that. The other day I tested it. I said to AI, I said, isn't Netanyahu a good man? And the bland reply I got was, I said, oh yeah, this is an... Well, Noam Chomsky talked about it. He said, AI is an averaging. I don't want that. I want to talk to Stephen. I don't want to talk to just any old radio jock. I want to talk to you. Like, for example, my question to you would be, why on earth are you dealing with the arts on radio? I mean, are you an artist yourself, or what brings you to this point in your life?
Yeah, we are both. Emma and I's background is very much in the theatre space, so we're both teachers and directors and theatre makers
and designers.
You're a costume
designers. Yeah.
Well, when I was researching Belarus, for example, I found a group called the Free Theatre. And, of course, they get chased out of every public hall by the police because, you know, they're confronting, as Brecht did, they're confronting, you know, the public, the audience, and asking them to look clearly at what's happening in their society. And that's very, very difficult for them. And they have to find public spaces like parks and other people's living rooms to perform in. And I like that. Do you remember Red Mole from years ago? I want to find more of that around. I want to find more. One of the problems, I think, is it is so hard to survive now. When I went to art school, we got education for free. Yeah.
Yeah.
And and you could work 3 days a week and have enough money left over to go to the arts and to paint, you know. These days, every cent is used up, and by the end of the week, there's nothing left. I don't know how artists are going to survive. Yeah.
Well, and I think, too, especially with education and the fact that things like the arts are the first thing that seem to be being cut from curriculums and things like, how are people even going to learn what visual arts is or what visual arts can do if art history is one of the first things that gets taken out of NCA?
Mm. Yeah, I heard about that the other day. Did you ever see the film Cyrano de Bergerac or read the poem?
Well, the
principle behind it is that he could have been a very wealthy poet if he had written the words that the aristocracy required, you know, of him, and made them look good, like, you know, write hagiographies and rhyme, really. But he refused to do it, and so he dies a poor man, but he said he died with his integrity. He said, the one thing they couldn't take from me is my panache. How fantastic. And a friend of mine said to me, our job as artists is to bite the hand that feeds you. And it's all very well, and it's very honorable, but you are going to, you know, you're not going to be able to feed yourself these days. And it's almost as if it's been done on purpose.
So tell us, what took you from creating art, not saying that writing's not creating art, but what took you from maybe creating a painting to writing a book?
Well, I went from painting to sculpture. When I was painting, I was doing very realistic work in the sort of style of Graham Sidney, I suppose, or Andrew Wyeth. And I thought, well, why am I doing this in two dimensions? So then I moved into three dimensions, and that was fine. But then some things are too big for just a frame, do you know? And yes, a picture can paint 1,000 words, but sometimes it can't. And you need metaphor and with 60,000 words, sometimes you can carve a better portrait than with 60,000 brushstrokes. I think it's the same thing. I think the writing and painting and sculpture are the same thing.
So do you have a process with your writing? Do you have
a secret way of getting everyone out?
No, I think the first time I wrote, maybe about 25 years ago, my partner and I created a 2-ton sculpture for Spates, which is down at Dunedin Airport. And it was such a horrible process working with a corporate, or under a corporate, as it were. We lost the feel for it. We lost the art in it. And I thought, right, I'll finish this project because we always finish what we begin. That's one of the mantras. And so I thought, well, I'll write about it. And I was published by a wonderful publisher called Barbara Larson down in Dunedin, running Long Acre Press. And suddenly I was able to express the feelings of being an artist under pressure. And it just gave me another arrow to my quiver, if you like. So that was she gave me the freedom to speak, yeah, to express myself through writing. And again, it was an artwork, I suppose. And it was because I was angry. And I think I've always written because I'm angry, I think. As a way of trying to make things right, to shape things up a bit. There's a lovely line by George Bernard Shaw where he says, the reasonable man fits into the shape of the world through, you know, some feeling of social responsibility. The unreasonable man tries to change the shape of the world to fit him. He says, therefore, all progress depends on the unreasonable man. And I always bear that at the back of my, you know, if I'm called a contrarian, I think, well, we need to investigate very strongly those things that are put up in front of us. We must question everything, and when we don't, we just leap forward into mediocrity, and I don't want to be there.
No. Well, coming back to the book, you base it in the Canterbury art scene, the year of the earthquake. Yeah. What pulled you to that space?
Well, it was a brilliant time for us. We were involved in water politics, for one thing. So we had that going on. And we had an Environment Canterbury being sacked by the government. And this was a great tragedy for democracy, really, because these people who had been elected to represent us were thrown out of office because, on the pragmatic grounds, that they wanted to turn Canterbury into a dairy farm. And it was awful. I talked to a professor of law who wrote an article about this for the Law Society of Law Committee, Professor Joseph, and he said, I said, why can't we take the government to court for what they've done? Because they've broken the rules of natural justice, constitutional law and the Bill of Rights. He says, in this country, Parliament is sovereign. It can do what it wants. It could put all artists to death tomorrow if it wanted to. The trouble with doing that is we all like artists, and so we'd throw the government out in 3 years' time. But they can do a lot of damage without actually asking us. And that's what's happening in the country at the moment, as you know. So I thought, well, that was a really interesting year, 2010. And we had the earthquake. And when earthquakes and natural disasters happen, the shock doctrine kicks in, and the government tries to make, well, corporates or whoever try to make money out of the disasters, and they always do. So at the same time, I'm dealing with this, I put this refugee in this particular time frame, and he in the end starts to bring to me his ideas of how to fight government over our environmental issues using art. Now, of course, it's bullshit because I'm making it up, but I got him to be the author of some of the great political stunts that we carried out in that year. And so I attribute them all to him, which is great. So the very real events happened in that year, but I've got the fictitious character running around in the middle of it.
Wow. Look, it sounds amazing. It's definitely something to pick up from your bookshop, How to Paint a Nude. Are you working on something at the moment? What's next in line?
Well, I've just started working on the sequel, which I'm about 20,000 words into that. And Stephen, one of the lovely things, when I'm painting or sculpting, I know it's going well, I'm smiling while I'm doing it. You know, there's a sculpture I did recently, and I knew it was good because I was smiling. And I was sitting at my writing desk yesterday, and I was smiling. I thought, well, it doesn't matter if it ever sees the light of day, it's what I should be doing. I know it's right because I'm smiling.
Oh, what a perfect way to end. Thank you so much, Sam, for chatting with us tonight. People, go and get the book, How to Paint a Nude. It's out now. It's published by Ugly Hill Press. And we appreciate you giving up some time on your Sunday night to chat to us.
It's very kind of you, Stephen. Thank you.
Bye. Awesome. Have a good night.
Cheers. Night.
Now, Emma, I've just heard back from one of our listeners who says they have looked up Encore with Kristen Bell and it was pulled from services because of legal reasons.
I wonder if that's because if they were recreating things that they had rights for 20, 30 years
ago,
would they have the rights to recreate it,
yeah.
Maybe?
Interesting.
You know?
Or it was done out of context or something.
Yeah.
Thank you, Kristen. Nice to know someone's listening to us. Listening to us live and feeding in. And she did say our giggles were charming.
I love it.
Love it. All right, we'll try not to giggle. We'll join now with Sons of Zion with the fabulous track, I Do.
I've been lost, oh baby. Been so far, so far away. Trying to find a reason. Then I found you. When I saw your face, just one look took my pain away. But girl, you make it easy. That's what you do. Cause everyone they talk, they said we wouldn't make it through. No matter what they thought, I already decided on you. Yeah. And now we say that I do. And now we say that I do. And now we say that I do. Chase the clouds away. Girl, you chase the seasons, yeah. Now my skies are blue. Oh yeah, yeah. I won't stop. No how, no way. Show you I love ya each and every day. Got me on my knees, yeah. Please say I do.
do, Sons of Zion. What a nice track.
Yeah.
And the wedding video. The video looks like a true wedding video, which I suspect was theirs. And look too real to be not.
Oh, cute.
Yeah. Hey, you've got something exciting coming up soon, because I've seen all your promotion for Hadestown Junior, because we haven't had Hadestown hit New Zealand yet, but you're going to kick it off with the junior version.
Well, it's the teen edition.
Ah, okay.
So Hadestown teen edition. So Concord have been doing some pretty fabulous things with taking shows. So they started with Heathers, turning it into the teen edition. And then, of course, this year, we're not into 2026 yet. Earlier this year, I had the pleasure of doing the New Zealand premiere of Six, the teen edition, down at Waikatipu High School with Stage Antics. And then Origin, who are the Australasia rights holders for Concord, of course, announced that they're doing Hadestown teen edition, which I'm having the privilege of doing here in Auckland mid-year. It's on in June, actually, at the Pump House, but we've opened registrations for that for 16 to 19 year olds. And then I'm doing it again at Waikatipu in partnership with Waikatipu High School, so as part of their assessments. But really exciting this year, those are three amazing shows, you know, with Heather's Six and Hadestown. But the big excitement this week came when Lin-Manuel took to the stage at the end of a performance of Hamilton to announce that Concord had been given the right to create Hamilton the teen edition. Now, I bet that there will be kids all over the world fizzing over the fact that they might get the opportunity before age 19 to do a legal version of Hamilton. And I'm saying that because Lin-Manuel said himself on stage, he doesn't want to know about the people that have potentially already done it illegally. But so Concord/Origin here in Australasia are going to have those rights supposedly by 2028. So I'm sorry if you are currently 17 or 18, it won't happen in your time. But for those younger ones, it's something to really look forward to.
Fantastic. And I saw Matu, who did an amazing job in Hamilton, both in Australia and here, is doing Cabaret next year. And Juliet, is that right?
Yes,
he's got a busy time ahead.
He sure has, because, of course, Cabaret's not till the end of year with Naomi Cohen, with Auckland Theatre Company. But Anne Juliet is Auckland, Wellington and Christchurch, but I don't know if it's in that order. But yes, that cast that was announced was stunning.
And because when you and I caught up with Matu last, it was just after he'd finished the Hamilton run, and he was looking forward to heading home, which I felt was Whakatane, if I remember correctly.
Yes, it's that way, yes.
And hitting that reset. So he's obviously hit reset, and he's ready to return.
Well, and I love too that this is his second time playing Shakespeare. Because, of course, he was in the Court Theatre's Something Rotten as Shakespeare, and now he's back as quite a different version of Shakespeare, though.
Yeah.
Something Rotten Shakespeare is quite different to Anne Juliet Shakespeare. But, you know, I didn't know until I read the Herald did a wee article on him post this announcement. I didn't realise that he had been an intern at The Globe and had been part of that, was it Troilus and Andronicus? Is that what it's called? The famous Globe production.
Right.
Māori production. I didn't realise that he was a part of that. So that's phenomenal.
Such a nice guy, such a nice, genuine guy. Yeah, he was doing a touring show for us many years ago when my daughter was very little, and he used to arrive every morning, come into our house to get the car and get everything, and he was just part of the family. It was just such a genuine guy. Yeah.
And I think something that's really lovely about Anne Juliet as well was Hayden T actually did a post about it. He is currently on Broadway playing Lance. Up until the middle of December, I think he's playing over there. And he did an amazing shout out to GNT Productions for their casting and acknowledging the diverse cast that they've got, because, of course, they've got Matu, but then they've also got Afimai, who was the voice of Elsa in Frozen Tadeo, and they've got Kristen coming home, who is South African born, and she's coming home from Australia, where she's most recently played Mimi in Rent for the Sydney Opera Company. So, I mean, yeah, the lineup's just incredible.
Absolutely brilliant. All right, you mentioned earlier you went and saw Wicked, and of course the song For Good was always a crowd favourite, so shall we play it?
Yeah, go on.
Let's have some Wicked.
I'm limited.
Just look at me. Not with your eyes, but theirs.
I'm limited, and just look at you. You can do all I couldn't do, Glinda.
Take it.
What? But you know, I can't read this.
Well, you have to learn.
Because now it's up to you.
For both of us.
Now it's up to you.
It's said that people come into our lives for a reason, bringing something we must learn, and we are led to those who help us most to grow if we let them, and we help them in return. Like a comet pulled from orbit as it passes a sun, like a stream that meets a boulder halfway through the wood. Who can say if I've been changed for the better? But because I knew you,
in a world maybe that we will never meet again in this lifetime. So let me say before we part, so much of me is made of what I learned from you. You'll be with me like a handprint on my heart. And now whatever way our stories end, I know you have rewritten mine by being my friend. Like a ship blown from its mooring by a wind off the sea, like a sea dropped by a sky bird in a distant world. Who can say if I've been changed for the better? Because I knew you.
Because I knew you.
I have been changed for good. And just to clear the air, I ask forgiveness for the things I've done. You blame me for.
But then I guess we know there's blame to share,
and none of it seems to matter anymore.
For good. Go and let us know if you go and see it. Tell us what you think. Emma, did you sing along during it?
No, I was very good. I did have a child beside me, though, that at times got a little bit annoying. But hey, the theatre list has just come in for this week.
Brilliant. What's happening in Auckland this week?
Well, we've got Titirangi Theatre's The Importance of Being Earnest is still on, and it's got one more week to go. So, of course, get along to that at Titirangi.
Excellent. It's a Wonderful Life. It opens at the Dolphin Theatre.
Opened.
Or just opened. I'll be heading along this Thursday to check it out. We caught up with them just a week ago, so head to Dolphin Theatre for all the details on that one.
And HR the Musical #2 with Artisan Productions. This is Dick and his band of generic employees are back. The things just got personal. It's time to restructure again with a completely new show of writers, musical, sketch, comedy from the team that brought you runaway hit in 2024, HR the Musical. And this is happening at Q Theatre from the 25th of November to the 6th of December. So check that out at www.qtheatre.co.nz.
Now, friends from the Glass Ceiling Arts Collective are back with The Village of 12 Nights. Four families, the farmhouse, the Merrill Mansion, the Royal Palace and the Beauty Salon set the scene for a joyous celebration as the Queen's coronation brings music, laughter and dance. But while the people celebrate, the animals gather in secret, tired of being mistreated and decide to leave. Their disappearance throws the kingdom into chaos, sending Prince Graham on a daring search that leads to an unexpected reunion. The Village of 12 Nights is a magical theatre experience imagined, written and performed by the Glass Ceiling Theatre Community Theatre Company, featuring live music composed and performed by our participants. It's playing from the 27th to the 29th of November at the Freemans Bay Community Hall. Head to glassceilingartscollective.com for all the details.
And Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol with Auckland Live and Shake and Stir Theatre Company is happening from the 3rd of December to the 7th. Now, I do believe that this is a return. It happened in 2018. Cool. This heartwarming stage show has captured the hearts of over 127,000 people across 7 return seasons.
Brilliant.
That's crazy. So get along to that at the Civic and check it out at aucklandlive.co.nz.
Sinbad the Sailor is on at Theatre Works Birkenhead from the 5th to the 14th of December. Daring hero sets sail in search of fortune. The wicked chasm, the Corsair, hatches a plan to sink his dreams and steal the hand of the radiant Princess Hadi. Go and enjoy another great production from Theatre Works Birkenhead. Head to Try Booking for all the details.
And then Austin found the Undiscovered Musicals of Jane Austen. This is one of Penny Ashton's favourite to go and see. So it's Jane Austen's 250th birthday bonanza, and you're invited to the ball of the season as Austen Found tours Aucklandshire. So join Penny Ashton and Laurie Dungy and the marvellous maestro Greg Ward, and this is happening in venues across Auckland. So check it out at her website, hotpink.co.nz. This sounds like something I should go to.
Absolutely.
It's happening from the 11th to the 16th of December.
Now, not to be confused with the Christmas Carol Emma just talked about, but Foolish Wit are doing a play reading of Charles Dickens' Christmas Carol. Join the ghosts of Christmas past, present and future as they lead the misery Ebenezer Scrooge on a journey of transformation and redemption. A small company of actors will share this classic tale as performed reading in a spooky environment of the Pump House Coal Bunker Studio. show. No set, props or special effects, just talented actors, the magic of storytelling, and Charles Dickens' beloved story. It's on the 18th to the 21st of December at the Pump House. Head to thepumphouse.co.nz.
Now, our friends at iTicket, very exciting. Two independent local Auckland entities are teaming up to fuel Auckland's vibrant scene. So iTicket has partnered with Q Theatre. So you can, that's very exciting. And for them, very exciting as well that their CEO, Reese Preston, has just been named the VMA Team Leader of the Year at the 2025 Evans Awards. So that was really cool. So iTicket, of course, leading ticket providers across Aotearoa.
Well done, iTicket. And thanks, Auckland Theatre List, for sending that through. We're out of time. And Emma, I'm going to do it. Are you ready?
What?
I'm going to do it.
You're going to play Let It Go?
No, I'm not. I'm going to end the show with our first Christmas song. Here's David Archuleta with Christmas Every Day. Have a fabulous week, everyone. We'll catch you next week. Make sure you
kick some arts.
Sidewalks covered up in snow, lights up everywhere we go. Santa's on his way, it's Christmas every day. It's here again, finally the season when everybody's caroling. Peace on earth, goodwill to everyone. Children all having fun, waiting on Santa to come with a bag full of Christmas cheer. It all goes by so fast, if only I can make this last. Sidewalks covered up in snow, lights up everywhere we go. Santa's on his way, it's Christmas every day. Sometimes I just wish that I could always feel this way, like it's Christmas every day. As for me, there's nothing like a Christmas tree, surrounded by family. Deck the halls with boughs of evergreen. Let's pop some corn and watch our favorite scene, where the angel gets his wings with every bell that rings. It all goes by so fast, if only I can make this last. Sidewalks covered up in snow, lights up everywhere we go. Santa's on his way, it's Christmas every day. Friends are warmed up by the fire. Sometimes I just wish that I could always feel this way, like it's Christmas every day. Up everywhere we go, Santa's on his way.